Good evening. It's so good to be together on this Lord's Day evening. Michael talked this morning about lambs, and I want to talk tonight about shepherds. And I'd like to start with a reading from Ezekiel. I've been thinking about Ezekiel ever since a couple weeks ago in our teacher planning meeting. I found out or volunteered to teach a class on Ezekiel next year. So I've been reading through it and starting to get my thoughts together around it. And question might come up, we might think about, why are leaders such a big deal? Why does it even matter? Why is it significant? And it doesn't take long to think about that and start to, like, it's kind of common sense. Like, have you ever wished for better leadership in government or, you know, maybe at work? Even, like, less important things like your fitness. You know, people pay a lot of money to have a coach, a fitness coach, to say, I'm going to hold you accountable, I'm going to give you guidance, I'm going to get you through this and keep you moving forward. It is a blessing to have good leadership to help us get where we need to go. But we see this so clearly in Ezekiel 34. And I'll start at the beginning here, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. With force and harshness. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. What a tragedy. You can kind of hear God's heartbreak. This is his people. He's appointed shepherds. He's given Israel what they need. And they're getting eaten alive. And that can happen in a church. It can. But it really highlights the value of leadership. And it's interesting that the Bible's favorite metaphor, all the biblical writers' favorite metaphor for leadership, is shepherding. And we have shepherds here. We have shepherds. And I praise God. I thank God that we have shepherds. And, you know, a sound church, what that means is it's a healthy church. And a lot of the ways that a church can become unhealthy have to do with leadership, have to do with our relationship with our leaders, have to do with whether or not we have leaders. And so I've been, this is, I guess, kind of a family talk, kind of a lesson. It's a simple lesson. But I've been thinking about just this week, as I read this and I thought about all of this, the importance of leadership. Healthy leadership, a healthy, respectful relationship with our leader, and more people developing into leaders, aspiring to and preparing for such a role. And so before we go on, I have 10 important truths about elders in the New Testament. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Before we do that, I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, you are so good and wonderful. We thank you that we are the sheep of your pasture, that you lead us always in the right way. We thank you for our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, to protect his flock. And we thank you for this flock of your people here. Thank you for the good people who love you that we can share our lives with and partner with in this work. And we thank you for our shepherds that you have given us here. And we pray for wisdom and love and strength for them. We pray that you would bless every part of their life. Bless their wives and their marriages. Bless them in their work. Bless them in everything they do. We pray that you would support us and strengthen us and correct us when we need it. As we follow them, may we do so in a way that gives them, puts wind in their sails and gives them joy instead of heartache. And may we be like Aaron and Hur under Moses' arms supporting them, and may they be like Moses leading us in the right way as they follow you. We don't outsource our faith or our faithfulness to them in any way. It is ours alone. But we thank you that we have those who are looking out for our souls. And we pray for this church to be strong and healthy. We thank you that you've protected us from so many dangers through the years. We thank you that even now you're with us as your people and you're working in us and you're bringing fruit to us as we work in your vineyard. And we pray for more blessing, and we just want to please you. And we pray that we would stand united always until that day when Jesus comes and brings us back to you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 10 truths. I feel like this is a clickbait kind of article, like in a blog, you know, 10 crazy truths. That's not crazy truths. These are simple truths about shepherds that we find in the New Testament. And the first one is really obvious, I guess, if you've been around. It's that our elders are our shepherds. And there's a lot of confusion in the religious world. Are they pastors? Are they elders? Are they bishops? There's divisions. Presbyterians comes from a different idea of governance, presbytero, the word for elder, than Episcopalians, which is the word for overseer or bishop. And then some, you know, like a lot of churches, we have one pastor is their approach, which is just the Bible's word for shepherd. And so what we find when we look to the New Testament, actually, is that these are all the same role. These are all different words, and they're not the only words. They're also called leaders, they're called stewards, they're called overseers, they're called elders, and they're called shepherds. And so if you flip with me to Acts chapter 20, this is a wonderful, wonderful passage, heartbreaking in some ways, as Paul kind of says goodbye to some people he loves, the elders of the church in Ephesus. We find that they're elders in verse 17. He sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him in Acts 20, verse 17. And then we read this verse that has way more than we can unpack here today in verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. That last bit goes pretty well with what Michael talked about this morning. God himself obtained the church with his own blood. If you want a good proof for the deity of Jesus, there's one of them. But this first part tells us that they are our shepherds. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4 gives the same idea. Peter, as a fellow elder, speaks to the elders who, he says, have oversight and are to shepherd the flock among them. So our elders are the ones to shepherd us, and they're the ones to oversee us. And so we have this metaphor, which is not a glamorous picture. I don't know, like Michael talked about, I don't know a lot of shepherds. We got this chance through a friend of Landon's, I think, a couple years ago to take the kids to a sheep farm here. And that was pretty cool. But you know, it didn't smell the best. And you know what shepherds smelled like? Like the sheep. They slept with the sheep. They were with the sheep all the time. They protected the sheep. They knew the sheep. The sheep knew their voice. They knew sheep by name. And so this is a picture that God uses throughout, from Moses, David, all of these, all through history in the Old Testament, kings and priests, as that passage we read in Ezekiel 34, were often called shepherds. But we are in a new day, in this new covenant. And we don't have like a privileged tribe that only these people from this lineage or something are the leaders. So who is there to look after God's people? Who's it going to be? And where's it going to come from? And we have here, in verse 28, one of the answers. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. He says, keep watch over the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so that's point number two, is that truth number two, the Holy Spirit has made them our overseers. And this is one of those passages, it'd be nice to have like Paul just give a little footnote, a little, here's all the things you need to know about this. But these, you know, if you think about it, of course, the Holy Spirit is involved in every aspect of this. The Holy Spirit has given us the shape of God's church, the design of God's church, told us what the qualifications are. The Holy Spirit is involved in our prayers, of course, throughout this whole process of thinking about and appointing our elders. And then the Holy Spirit has been developing these people into these godly men who can lead us. And the Holy Spirit shows us who is to lead his church. And Paul's, you know, what is Paul trying? Why does Paul say it this way? I think that much is clear, right? He's trying to get across to these elders, God made you the leader of this church. It is no big accident. It is no small thing. God, the Holy Spirit, has appointed you for this task. And that should matter to the leaders, and that should matter to us. We find it said a little differently in Ephesians 4. Point number three, our shepherds are a gift to us from Christ. So we're going to get the whole Trinity involved here. Ephesians 4, we see that Jesus, when he ascended into heaven to reign from above over his church, gave gifts. He gave gifts. That's verse 8. In verse 10, it says, He who descended is he who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things, and he gave. What are the gifts he gave when he ascended? It's quoting a passage from the Old Testament. He gave the apostles. He gave the prophets. He gave the evangelists. He gave the shepherds. And he gave the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. We can go on. One of the beautiful pictures of the church in all of the Bible, this picture of us growing up into the image of Christ to speak the truth in love, where every part of this body that is Jesus' body on earth is building itself up as he reigns over it as head from heaven. And to equip us for that work, we have shepherds. Jesus gave that gift. It is an act of grace that we have leaders, that we have Rick and Nolan here to guide us and watch over us and watch out for us. Point number four, they have leadership only over the flock among them. Remember, that's what it said in Acts 20, back there in Acts 20, that they are to They are overseers of this flock. And in 1 Peter 5, he says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, then you will receive the unfading crown of glory." There's no hierarchy of leadership. Like out besides Jesus, there's nothing over all of the churches elsewhere. There's no, okay, and over, you know, over the United States branch of the Church of Christ, there is this group of people or this person. There's nothing like that. There is Jesus in heaven, and then there are all of these churches. And what the Lord has said is, you have leaders that are just for this body, who is this group of Christians who have agreed to work together, who've come together, who gather on the first day of the week to worship, and you're going to have leaders that are just over that group. And that's pretty important because they know the sheep. They're supposed to know the sheep. They're not other, they're one of us, right? So what does that look like, and how did churches get these leaders in the New Testament? Well, what we find is evangelists like Titus, Timothy, we see Paul and Barnabas, are told to set churches in order by appointing elders. So for instance, let's look at Titus 1 verse 5. It says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." And then he gives the kind of picture. It's a little different. There's a similar picture in 1 Timothy 3. But you can see that it's talking about the same thing. "If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and able to rebuke those who contradict it." So they're to appoint men who show godly character, maturity, ability to teach, to lead, to protect. And this is a picture of those who, you know, those who look at us, even people who don't like us as Christians, can see this kind of character and may even begrudgingly say, "Well, that guy's not that bad." You know, there's this sense of a kind of character that is above reproach, not perfect, not infallible, but a kind of high character person who has these abilities. Not everybody who's high character has the ability to lead, has the ability to correct, has the ability to teach. But these are the people we're looking for. And if you look at the other list in 1 Timothy 3, there's another point I want to make in verse 1 before we get to the list. And that is, this is a noble task. Say it. I love that statement. He says, when Paul wants to get a little, not grandiose, but a little, put some oomph into what he's about to say, he'll say something like this: "This saying is trustworthy." You guys listening to what I'm about to tell you? I got something to tell you that you can count on. Take it to the bank every time. You can know this for sure. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. A noble task. You know, there's so many pursuits in life that you spend a lot of energy on, and you realize at some point, that was kind of empty. Really, that was pretty insignificant. I put a lot of effort into that, and it really didn't mean much. But here is something with eternal consequences. How noble can something get? Leading, protecting, feeding God's people. Is there a nobler job, a higher office in all the world? Tuesday, we're going to elect some people to office. Is there a bigger, more important office than overseer of the Lord's church? I submit to you, there is not. It is a noble task, and it is sometimes thankless. It is definitely hard. But the Lord sees the effort, and there are a lot of us here, Rick and Nolan, who see what you do and know it costs you a lot, and we often thank God for what you're doing. I know you guys hate the spotlight on you, but this is real, and we appreciate it, even if it's sometimes thankless. This is a noble job. And I'm thankful that we have brethren who step forward to do it and to lead us. And I want to encourage all the young men and older men here to contemplate this noble task, to prepare yourself for it. We need more. And I pray for the day that once again we have more than two, though we're not in a deficit. That is all we need, but it is a heavy task. And my next point, there is always more than one leading every church. Always. I don't know how this gets missed in the history of religion, that we have a bishop over a church or a pastor or whatever. But every single time we see elders talked about, it is a plurality. And I'll just give you a few passages. Acts 14:23, Acts 20:17 we just looked at. Acts 5, 1 Peter 5:1 we just looked at. Titus 1:5 we just looked at. This is something that I think it is... essential to the health of a church. Other than Christ, we don't have a singular leader. We have a group of shepherds Christ has given us to think together about all the matters they face, to watch together over all the saints under their care and guidance. And it's not only important so we don't have what 3 John calls a diotrephes, you know, somebody who's trying to like rule over and oppress the people, but also so they're not alone, you know? It matters. Whenever Jesus sent people out to preach, he sent them out two by two even. It matters to not be alone in this very difficult task. It also speaks to the importance of collaboration. I remember when my dad was an elder years ago, and he was talking to me about the process as they, out at the church in Phoenix, would, you know, try to appoint new elders, and the importance of whoever they brought in being able to work together with the existing group. And you would think, well, that is what Christian maturity looks like, the ability to be humble, to listen, to pray together, to seek wisdom together, to say, you know what, my way isn't the only way, to ultimately yield always, of course, to the will of the Lord as revealed in his word. But there are some people who in so many ways are mature and strong, but just are cantankerous or just are not, the kind of people who seem to want to work together and yield and find a way to come to agreement. And that is a way to break an eldership. And so it's just a side point. We don't have a verse about that, but the fact that there's always a plurality means there always need to be people who together stand as one, just as we want the church to stand as one in their leadership. And what one contributes to the whole matters. You know, what any one. An elder told me about whenever he was about to be appointed, and he said, "I don't know if I have all the time I would love to put into this." And the elders that were asking him to be part of the eldership said, "You know what? What you have is more than we have. Whatever you give is a contribution to this eldership. It makes a difference." And so more, having more than one, I think, makes a huge difference, as each one can contribute the time that they have, the abilities, the gifts, the wisdom, the experiences, and the study and prayer that they have put into following the Lord. And it does take a lot of prayer, and it does take a lot of work, because I don't know if you noticed, all the way back there in that first passage that we read, it said, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock that's among you." It seems obvious, but his first thing is, you look out for yourself, not like in a selfish way, but as Paul said, consider the outcome of their faith and imitate them. In other words, persevere. Keep going. Elders lead us by example, most importantly, 1 Peter 5 says. And those leaders we've had in the past have shown us a way. Follow them as they follow Christ. And keep going. May God bless us with more leaders in the future. May God always bless this church with strong leaders. Praise God for the leaders that we have. And let's keep going as we not only support them, but look to ourselves and continue in the faith. If you are not a Christian, the way to follow Jesus is to start by coming to him in faith, trusting that he is the King, the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, and obeying him. And we begin to obey him by yielding our life to follow him, confessing those truths about him, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we keep walking in the ways that he teaches us in his word. If you haven't done that, or if there's some other way we can support you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.